we continue the shiur in Gemara. Continuing along the same topic, where the Gemara brings the pasuk kiner mitzvah v'torah or. Mitzvah is considered like a candle, Torah is considered like light, daylight, which means that the light of Torah not only is brighter, but it's also longer lasting. Candle is a temporary light, whereas daylight is continuous, perpetual. And as the Gemara said, that the light of Torah is so great that it accompanies a person during his lifetime. In the grave, it serves to protect him, and for Olam Haba, it keeps him company there, meaning that it assists him there in Olam Haba. Now the Gemara gives a mashal, an example, as to the difference between the light of mitzvah and the light of Torah. The Gemara says a mashal to a person who's walking along the midst of the dark of night. It was pitch black. He's walking along in a place that's isolated. He has no idea of where he is. Being pitch black, he can't find his way, he can't see his way, he doesn't know where he's going. He's in a lot of trouble. Exactly what is he afraid of? What does he fear when he's walking along this pitch black night? He fears specifically four items. One, he's afraid of falling into a ditch or a pit. It might be very deep. He might be crippled or he might be killed if it's deep enough. Secondly, he's afraid of thorns. He might step on thorns or tear his clothes on thorns. They are dangerous. Third, he's afraid of wild animals. The thick of night in this forest, he might be attacked by a wild animal that could possibly be fatal. And fourth, he's afraid of highway thieves who lurk in the night to trap wanderers. So he walks along filled with trepidation and fear of these four dangers that lurk in every step of the way. And while walking along, the Gemara says, he suddenly comes across a torch, or a lantern. With this lantern now, he feels better, because now this lantern, he is now saved from the fear of falling into pits or a ditch. He's also saved from the possibility of hurting himself against thorns. However, he is still afraid of wild animals because of the fact that it's night. He is still afraid of highway thieves who now could see him better. Third, he still doesn't know where he is. This little light, this lantern, can help him for a few feet. He has no idea where he is located. Now the Gemara says the next step is, when daylight arrives, the black of night is gone, now he feels much better, because he's no longer afraid of wild animals. Wild animals are nocturnal animals that lurk only during the night. By day they're asleep, they don't come out. He's also not afraid of any thieves anymore, because they too are afraid of attacking people by day. They might be seen. They do their evil work only at night. So with this daylight arrival, he's now saved from the other two items that he feared. However, he still has no idea where he is. It's true, it's daylight, and he can't find the road to civilization. But when he arrives at the crossroads, he sees roads showing, leading to cities, to villages, then he is saved from everything. This is the mashal the Gemara gives. Now the Gemara says, what is the nimshal? What do these things represent? The torch, or the lantern, represents mitzvot. When a person has mitzvot, this serves as a candle. A person does mitzvot, he is saved from suffering. Mitzvah protects a person from suffering. so that a lot of the potential suffering is removed. But it does not protect the person from everything. When daylight comes, which means Torah, then the person is saved from all possible harm that can come to him. Torah is daylight. Once he has the protection of Torah, besides mitzvah, then he has no more fears. However, as the Yemeda says, he still doesn't know where he's going, where he is. Meaning that he has mitzvot, he has Torah. But which person is safe and secure as long as he is alive? Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, Al ta'amim bi'atzmecha ad yom motcha. Don't be sure of yourself, don't be overly confident until the day of death. Because the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, wages a constant, lifelong battle against the person. If the Yetzer Hara cannot overcome a person during his youth, he'll keep on working and struggling and attacking during a person's middle age. And if even then the Yetzer Hara does not win, he'll wait even to a man's old age and even to the last day of his life. The Gemara tells him, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, 80 years he was a tzaddik. At the age of 80, he was finally captured, overcome, vanquished by the Satan. He finally committed a sin that destroyed the past. So no person can be sure of himself as long as he is alive. He may have risen to the highest pedestal, to the highest madriga, tzaddik. As long as he is alive, he's not sure. Rabbein Azal said that there was one tzaddik he admired tremendously. The tzaddik who, on the day of his passing, was lying on his deathbed, and with a smile on his face, he snapped his fingers, and he said, I made it. That word that Rabbein Azal admired. Because he said, I went through life, I wasn't sure of it. Now that I'm leaving this world, I know that I made it, I wasn't captured, I wasn't overcome by the Satan, I can leave in peace. No person, no matter how old he is, can make that statement, because as long as there is life in him, as long as there is life, there is hope. There's a chance for teshuvah, there's a chance for mitzvot. But as long as there's life, there's still danger, because the war against the Satan must be waged, continued till the last breath of a person. Even at the moment of passing, even at that moment, the Sefrei Kabbalah say that a person, the Baal Shem Tov especially speaks about it in his Sefer, person at the moment of his passing should concentrate, you know, before he leaves the world, to say Ani Ma'amin Be'emuna Shleima Ba'Hashem, to state with emphasis that he believes in Hashem the last moment before he leaves the world. That at the last second, the Satan should not throw any doubts of Emunah in his mind, Chas v'Shalom. So therefore, a person cannot be sure of himself, the Gemara says, until he arrives at this crossroads. And the Gemara says, what is meant by the crossroads? What is the interpretation of crossroads? This speaks about the Talmid Chacham and the day of death. The crossroads means he leaves one road to the next. He leaves this world and goes to the other world. When the Talmid Chacham, meaning one who has done mitzvot and studied Torah, he gets to this crossroads, he gets to the point of death, then he has overcome everything. Then he is saved from everything completely. This is the way the Gemara interprets it. Now we're going to have to come back to this mashal again, because Rabbeinu Zal takes the same mashal and puts it into an entirely different perspective according to Kabbalah. We'll be back to this soon. First, let's complete the rest of the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says now, in reference to the protection that mitzvot afford a person and that Torah affords a person, what is the difference? Rav Yosef says that a mitzvah depends upon whether he is performing the mitzvah at this moment, the protection he receives then, or whether he has already performed it and the profits he gets from it. Rav Yosef says, a mitzvah, at the moment that a person is performing a mitzvah, he's completely protected, both from physical harm and from harm of the Yetzer Hara. While performing a mitzvah, he receives protection from both. However, after the mitzvah has been completed, he's no longer performing the mitzvah. Later on, the physical protection remains. He still is protected in the zechut of the mitzvah that he did. But the spiritual protection against the Yetzer Hara has ended the moment he finished the mitzvah. He is not safe against the Yetzer Hara except while performing the mitzvah. The difference is, one who studies Torah diligently, and of course he must stop the study of Torah to perform physical duties, eat, to sleep, Torah is different in that Torah protects a person both during the study of Torah and during the time that he has stopped learning Torah, the interim between his studies. So Torah, whether he is studying or not studying, the zechut of Torah protects a person from physical harm and from the satan, the Yetzer Hara. This is what Rav Yosef says. The Gemara says that Rava disputes this statement. Rava says we find that David HaMelech had two enemies. The two were leading people of his generation, leading Chachamim, the greatest, the wisest, among the wisest men at that time. Among the most learned Talmidei Chachamim at that time were Doeg and Achitofel. In fact, Achitofel, the Gemara says that he learned a lot. He even learned the decision about the Shir HaMa'alot, saving the world from a flood, getting the waters to rise just to the right height through a halacha, a law in the Torah. The Gemara asks, these two, Doeg and Achitofel, turned evil. They turned against David HaMelech, they revolted against him, and they turned out to be the opposite of Tzadikim. How come that this happened to them? Didn't they study Torah intensely? According to Rav Yosef, why didn't the Torah protect them from falling into the trap of the Satan and rebelling against David HaMelech, King David? So therefore, Rava says we must correct this statement. We must say that Torah protects a person physically and spiritually at the time that he studies Torah. During the time he sits and studies Torah, he cannot be affected by the Satan. He cannot be harmed physically either. During the time he does not study Torah, the zechut of the Torah will help him to protect him against physical harm, but he still will have to struggle against the Yetzer Hara and the Satan while not studying Torah. That cannot help him at that time. In the case of mitzvah, mitzvah is weaker in the sense that mitzvah will always help a person against physical harm. Whether he is studying Torah, whether he's doing the mitzvah or not, he'll be safe from physical harm. But at no time will the mitzvah help against the Satan. During the time that he is not performing the mitzvah, it's the same as when he is performing the mitzvah. In other words, mitzvah at all times, performing or not performing, cannot protect him against the Satan. The only protection against the Satan is the Torah. That's the final word of Rava. Now, of course, the question the Mefarshim ask is an obvious question. If the Torah does protect against physical harm, how come that Doeg and Achitofel met such a horrible end? They were killed. So, true, it does not protect against the spiritual harm, but how come they were killed? The answer is it protects against suffering, against Yisurim. It does not protect against death. death does come, despite the fact that a person had studied Torah. If a person is a tzaddik and studies Torah intensely, like David HaMelech, then the angel of death can't even touch that person. But while he is not studying Torah, though he cannot be harmed physically because the Zechut HaTorah protects him, but it cannot stop death from striking him. Another Yemeni says that the Zechut of Torah is so great. How about women? Women are exempt from the study of Torah. And as we said, they are not supposed to study Torah or Gemara in depth. What's their share of the reward of Torah? And do they share? The Yemeni answers, the women do share in the Zechut of Torah, though they do not study Torah themselves. They share equally with their husbands because of two mitzvot that they perform. One, we're speaking about good women, one, women who permit or who encourage their husbands to go to study Torah, whether to a class or even to leave town and go to a yeshiva out of town, like Rabbi Akiva's wife, who let him go out of town for 24 years. Or even for shorter periods, but they encourage their husbands to leave and go to study Torah. For this, they deserve to share equally with their husbands in the sechah, the reward of Talmud Torah, learning Torah. Secondly, in addition, women deserve the reward for Torah because they are the ones that see to it that their children go off to a yeshiva. They take care of these small children. They're the ones who tend to the children because the husbands are busy, they're occupied. And because the women, the mothers, see that their children go to a yeshiva, small children, go to learn Torah, and this zechut, they are zocher to the same reward as the husband who studies Torah. This is brought out more in detail. The Zohar HaKadosh says that one time Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal visited heaven, and while he was there, were two neshamot, two souls that spoke to him and discussed life in heaven. They told him about the yeshiva in heaven where the chief malach, Malach Memtet, gives a shiur. He is called the Rosh Yeshiva of Mesifta Derikia, the heavenly yeshiva. They told him chidushim they heard in that yeshiva, other chidushim that was said in heaven, and they said to him, you are so your value in heaven is so great, you're so highly respected here, that anything you wish would be granted you in heaven. Yeshua Mechayezal said, in that case, I wish an answer to a question that I have. Which question is bothering me? There were a few. One of them, the first one he said was, I want to know what kind of Gan Eden do women receive? How does the Gan Eden of women compared to the Gan Eden of men? And they left and returned with the information that is found in the Zohar HaKadosh, all the details about the different levels of Gan Eden for women, and how these Nashim Tzidkaniyot, the Tzadeket in heaven, receive the reward that is so equivalent to men. For example, the case of Batya, the daughter of Paro who saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and how she is zochet to see Moshe Rabbeinu each day in Eden. That's noteworthy that the Yeshua Mechayezal is always interested in finding out about the degree of Gan Eden that women receive, and how the Zohar HaKadosh goes into detail to speak about the Gan Eden women have. As the Gemara says here, that they divide equally with their husbands. Their husbands do the learning, women divide equally because of the fact that they encourage the husbands to learn, and that they lead their children, take their children to the yeshiva. Now we return to the first mashal that the Yemeni gave. The Yemeni gave the example of the difference between mitzvah and Torah. A person who's walking along in a dense forest, he's lost his way, he fears, remember the four things that he fears. He fears pit, a ditch, he fears thorns, He might get hurt by falling into a ditch or cutting himself against the thorns. He fears wild animals, and he also fears thieves. Abinadab says, let's examine this closely, and we find that we have here exactly in order the four levels of creation: Domim, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. Hashem created four types of creation. One is Domim, inorganic, lifeless, like stone, earth. The next higher level of creation is Tzomeach, vegetation. The one above that is Chai, which means animal life. The highest is called Medaber, or human life. Here a person is fearful of these four basic elements of creation: the inorganic, domim, vegetation, the thorns, the chai, the wild animals, the medaber, the thieves. Benedel says that all evil inclinations, all evil that grows within a person, anything bad, has its origin, its root, in these four levels of creation. Now, for one, the one of the worst evils is atzvut, person who is sad, depressed state of mind, marashchora, has no simcha. This comes from the origin of the creation of domim, the inorganic, which is lifeless. Person with a depressed state of mind, as though he has no life to him, it's like he's dead. And the origin of this comes from domim, which means from, like here, the case of the pit, the ditch. The next evil item is evil desires, ta'avot, desires for money, desires for unkosher items, desires for women, desires for sin. This comes from tzomeach, from vegetation. The origin comes from vegetation, something that grows, a desire that grows within him. Third is evil words, lashon hara, or sheker, lies, bad talk, slander, so on. The origin is from chai, from the animal level, because that's the act of an animal, to speak lashon hara, slander, and so on. The fourth, it comes from the highest level of creation, is the worst one of all, ge'aveh, haughtiness or conceit. These are the four types of evil and the origin for these four types of evil. Benedel says there is a means of escaping from these four, being cured from these four, that is hinted at in this story in the Gemara. To preface this first, to understand it more clearly, the Benazal says that as far as we are concerned, we meaning those of us who are on a low level, we don't understand, which just about covers everyone, we don't understand the acts of Hashem. When something good happens, we are very happy. We become rich suddenly. There's a happy occasion. We're very happy. We make a bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem HaTov V'Hameitiv. Blessed are you Hashem who does good to us. When something tragic occurs, to us is a tragedy. We say Baruch Dayan HaEmet. Blessed is Hashem who is a true judge. His ways are just and right. We accept this. Sadly, we say this very sad bracha, blessing Hashem despite the tragedy. However, the Gemara says, "Bayom Hahu," on that day when Mashiach comes, "Yihiyah Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad," Hashem will be one, His name will be one. And the Gemara asks, "What does that mean?" The Gemara Pesachim, "Now Hashem is also one, and His name is one." The Gemara answers, "Now Hashem is one. Hashem of Chesed is one bracha. Ushmo, His name Elokim, is a different bracha. Din." When there is kindness, we have a bracha hatov amitiv. When there is din, gezera, a harsh decree, a different thing. That day, Mashiach comes, will be wise enough to know that the truth is that when a tragedy occurs, we think it's a tragedy. exactly the same goodness and kindness by Hashem. Because the word Echad is Begimetria Ahava, Rabbeinu Zal says. The reason that Hashem gave this thing to a person, this so-called Yisurim, is not because Hashem dislikes the person, because Hashem loves the Jew, and he's doing this for the good of the Jew, but we don't have the mind to grasp this. We cannot conceive how this is good. When Mashiach comes, we'll have a much more elevated mind. Then we'll first understand how this was really an act of kindness and chesed. Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, both are the same. Both are one, both are Ahava. The chesed and the din are both Ahava. Of course, there is a question, halacha, what if a person today is that great of a tzaddik that he understands this today, could he say HaTov HaMeitiv for a tragedy too, as the law will be then? It's a question halacha that's discussed. Meanwhile, the Gemara says, that Rabbeinu Zal adds to this, Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person commits a sin, any kind of a sin, that's going against Hashem's command, going against the mitzvah, that means there's a pasuk in the Torah which says, don't, and he does that act, lo tignov, do not steal. He commits that sin, the act that he does becomes carved out, chas v'shalom, into his bones. The sin itself becomes carved out into his bones. What's meant by carved out? The letters, lo tignov, become carved out in his bones to show that this person is a criminal, he's committed a sin. Of course, carved out in the bones means too into the neshama. This is what's meant by Gehinom. A person goes to Gehinom to burn out this stain, this blemish, spot that he has formed in the neshama because of the sin he committed. So when a person has this sin carved out in his bones, the Rabbeinu Zal says, how does he get rid of this sin? Is teshubah enough? Teshubah is enough to be forgiven for the crime. He won't be punished for it. But how does he get this carving out of his bones? How does he get this mess, this sordid stain cleared from his bones? And it also says only one solution to that. Only one way to get it out of the bones, and that is by vidui devarim lefnei hatzadik. Before a tamid hacham, to speak words of confession before a tzaddik, to admit, to confess, I committed a sin. In this case, if he stole, besides returning the money that he stole, he makes amends for it. But he has committed a sin. The words Lo Tignov are carved out into his bones now, and that has to be burnt out through Gehinom. How does he get those words out of his bones? By confessing before a tzaddik, before a tamid chacham. He says, I committed a sin. Av Lo Tignov. When he speaks these words before a tzaddik, what happens is that the words coming out, the words of confession, come from his bones. Kol atzmotai tomarna. My bones speak. The words come from the bones. The words lo tignov come forth from the bones. The bones are then purified. There's no more carving of this sin in them. So the one solution is, the final solution, to get the sin completely cleared up, is this vidui devarim, confession before the tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal says, let's examine this story in the Gemara. Let's see how amazing this is. We said that there are four types of evil that originate from these four levels of creation. The average person who has committed all four types of these sins, he has this atzvut, this sadness, this depression of mind, which is an evil because that's like the bite of the serpent, the bite of the satan. The Rabbeinu Zal says is this atzvut, the sadness, the worst bite of the satan. He also has these ta'avot, evil desires. He also has this evil tongue, slander, and in addition he has ge'avah, these four sins which come from the four levels of creation: domim, still life, tzomeach, vegetation, chai, animal life, and medaber, humans. Rabbeinu Zal says, now, person who has this, how does he rid himself of this? there are three steps he must take. First step is seeing a tzaddik, coming before a tzaddik and seeing him. Seeing the face of a tzaddik alone is enough for a person to get rid of both atzvut, sadness, and evil desires, just looking at the face of a tzaddik alone. Now this we find in this story. A man was walking along the forest. He was afraid of pits, ditch. A ditch is domain, inorganic life, from which comes sadness. He was afraid also of thorns. That's the vegetation, which represents the evil desires. He's afraid of these two. And when he got to this lantern, this light, then he got rid of this fears of falling into a pit and being hurt by these thorns. With the lantern, he could see his way. This lantern stands for the sight of the tzaddik. This is what's meant by this. The Gemara says this lantern, the tzaddik who enlightens, who lights the way before a person, just seeing this tzaddik, the light of this tzaddik alone, he'll get rid of these two evils. How? Because the Torah says that a tzaddik is like a mother to the Jews. The nature of a child, an infant, is that when the child is very sad, or a child wants something that's wrong, he wants to play with a toy that's dangerous, with fire, and he's alone, he'll do these things that are wrong. But the moment his mother comes into the room, the child becomes enlivened, drops all the toys and everything, and runs to the mother. These toys are its desire. The child will drop it to go to the mother. Same thing when a person sees a tzaddik, who's the mother of the Jews, he'll drop all his evil ta'avot, his desires, he'll drop his sadness, and he'll become livened up at the sight of the tzaddik. That's how we get rid of the first two evils. The next two, the Bein Elul says, are cured through giving tzedakah to the tzaddik. Seeing tzaddik is first, then giving tzedakah to the tzaddik is the next step. And by giving tzedakah to the tzaddik, the person is then saved from evil words and from ge'avah. This tzedakah is what the Gemara says. He was still afraid of tumor. He's afraid of wild animals, which the origin of evil words, slander, lashon hara. He was afraid of thieves. That's the origin of ge'avah, of haughtiness. How was he saved? When daylight came, he was no longer afraid, because these animals and thieves prey only at night. They lurk only at night. This daylight is a pasuk which says, "As yibaka kashachar orecha." When you give tzedakah, the light of day will shine forth before you. So giving tzedakah to the tzaddik is this daylight which shines forth, and this is what saves a person from both evil tongue and haughtiness. Because the Gemara says that the sign of evil tongue, person who speaks lashon hara, that the penalty for that is poverty. We find that Datan and Aviram, who spoke to the king Paro against Moshe Rabbeinu, got him in trouble, where the king wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Afterwards Hashem said, "Ki metu kol ha'anashim," these people died. Don't fear them, because they died. The Gemara says that they really died. They became very poor. Poverty is like death. So we see that evil tongue is punished by poverty. Secondly, the Gemara says, "Siman legasut aniyut." The sign, the symbol of haughtiness, is poverty. A person who has haughtiness loses his wealth. So here, when a person gives tzedakah, which makes a person wealthy, naturally he'll be saved both from the evil tongue and from haughtiness, from ge'avah. This is the second step, where a person is cleared, he is rid of these four basic elements of evil. All four, by the two acts of seeing a tzaddik and giving tzedakah to a tzaddik. But as the Gemara says, this man had the lantern, and he enjoyed daylight. He was saved from all four, from the ditches, the thorns, wild animals, and thieves. But as the Yemenes says, he still did not know where he was. He still could not find his way until he came to the crossroads. And then he was saved completely. And the Yemenes says, what is the crossroads? A Tamid Chacham and the day of death. At that moment, a person reaches death and he is sure of himself. Until that day, he's afraid. Ben Adel says, what's meant by a Tamid Chacham and day of death? The day of death is the symbol of confession, vidui. Because the Sanhedrin put a person to death. The Yemenes says, they told him, before you die, confess all your sins, you leave this world clean. In general, before a person dies, there's a rule he must say vidui, confession, to cleanse himself. So when the Yemenes says this is speaking about a Tamid Chacham on the day of death, it doesn't mean the Tamid Chacham when he gets to the point of death. It means that in order to be saved from everything, after he has seen its tzaddik and he has given tzedakah to the tzaddik, then to speak the vidui divinum, the confession, before the Tamid Chacham. Tamid Chacham and death means Tamid Chacham and vidui, confession before this tzaddik Tamid Chacham. Then he is saved from everything completely. He is rid of his evil desires, rid of his evil tendencies, and also rid of all the sins he performed or committed that were on his bones. Through these words, they leave his bones. He is now cleansed entirely. This is what's meant by the Yemenes saying, Nitzol mikulam. He is saved completely from everything, and he comes out perfectly clean. And this, Ben Adel says, is what's meant by story of the Jews traveling in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the coffins that were being taken in the desert of Yosef and Tzaddik, coffins of each one of the sons of Yaakov. And the Yemenes says that the coffin of Yehuda was restless. The bones of Yehuda kept rattling in the coffin. And the reason was he had committed an act wrong during his lifetime. A wrong act. And for this, his bones could not rest. Now, then, the Yemenes says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Hashem, hear the voice of Yehuda, who had confessed. When he said, Tzadkah mimeni, when Tamar, his daughter-in-law, said, I will not embarrass Yehuda. I am pregnant because of a person who is the owner of these items, the ring, the cane. I will not say who it is. Let my father-in-law look at these, and that's it. She wouldn't embarrass him. He was the one who caused the pregnancy. And when he saw these things, he said, he confessed openly. He said, Kami Mini, I am the one. It was a case of confession. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen to the voice of confession of Yehuda. And then the Yemenes says, his bones were rested. They rested. They stopped rattling. They came to perfect rest and quiet. Why? Because now that Moshe Rabbeinu said this, repeating this, it was as though the confession had been said before Moshe Rabbeinu. The vidui with Moshe Rabbeinu as a tzaddik, this is why the bones came to rest, because it was the bones that suffered. The sin was carved out in the bones. The sin could not be removed from the bones until this confession, the words of confession, which comes from the bones. And this is why the bones of Yehuda rested with the words of Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Hashem, listen to the voice of Yehuda in these words of confession. And with this, the all is cleared. That's the reason why Yehuda's bones came to rest. And Ben Adel adds that what is the final item coming before a tzaddik? Person comes to a tzaddik, he sees a tzaddik, he gives tzedakah to the tzaddik, he confesses to the tzaddik. Now this is all proof of his sincere, complete, unquestioning faith in the tzaddik emet, which means that he wants to merge, to become part of this tzaddik. The tzaddik himself, what is the symbol of tzaddik? the tzaddik emet, for example, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the degree of purity in anivut, in modesty and humbleness. There are different degrees of modesty and humbleness. King David reached the degree of saying, Anochi Tolat, I am a worm. That's lower than any human being, lower than an animal. Deep humility, humbleness. Abraham Avinu was even more. He said, I'm not even a worm, I'm not even alive, I am ashes, dirt and ashes. Still greater degree of modesty. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest degree of all. He said, V'nachnu ma, I am nothing. I am non-existent. I am not even ashes. I am nothing at all. This is a bechinat ayin. Ayin is nothing. And ayin is also the highest degree of kedusha. The ayin, like the ani, ani Hashem, the word ani Hashem, the letters of ani are ayin, which means the crown, the keter of kedusha, above the crown over the ten sefirot. So one who is zochet to the bechinat, the category of ayin, he becomes nothing, which means that he merges into, becomes part of Hashem. Literally becomes, because he doesn't exist anymore, he, like his neshama, returns to the Shekhinah and becomes part of Hashem. Now a person who comes to the tzaddik emet, and he too lowers himself to a point where he accepts the greatness of the tzaddik over him, he wants to merge with the tzaddik, to become part of him after seeing him, giving tzedakah and confessing. He merges with this tzaddik, which means he goes further into the Shekhinah itself. Now, the quality in the names of Hashem all show that Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. There is no difference of desire or of will on the part of Hashem. Hashem is called Atzon HaPashut. One in every respect. There are no two different ways. In other words, by Hashem, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad means that when we see the acts of Hashem as two kinds, an act of kindness and an act of harshness, of dinning, Zedah, by Hashem there's only one. Hashem's kindness and Zedah are actually one because Hashem is Echad. So a person becomes Nichlal, merges into the Tzaddik Emet, hence into the Shekhinat Hashem, that person too becomes, to him there is only one category of all Echad, all Chesed, all kindness. A person like that is Zochet to what the Gemara says, Bayom Ahuya Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That this world, there are two different Barachot for good and for tragedy. Atov ha'amiti, for good things that happen, like Shechianu, and Baruch Dayan ha'emet, Hashem was the true judge when he takes a life. When Mashiach comes, there will be no such thing as two different berachot. We will all realize the truth that the act of Hashem is all good, all kind. Now we can't conceive that, but the truth is by Hashem all is good. The reason that he punishes is because of Echad, as we said, the Gematria Ahavah. Because Hashem loves the Jew, therefore he punishes him, but this is an act of kindness on the part of Hashem. Then we'll understand that a person today could be Zocheta, that by becoming part of Hashem, his Neshama returns to Hashem now through his Ahava to Hashem, and he can be Zochet to realize fully the true fact that all is good, all is Echad. So we see the tie-in now, the words of the Gemara, where the Gemara brings the story of a man in a forest, how he was saved from the different dangers that lurked there, and how ultimately he got to the final point where he was saved from everything. This is through the person's performing these three acts that Ben Azal brings, to be saved from all the different types of evil, and ultimately getting to a point where he voids himself, his own existence, considers himself non-existent, because he wants purely to merge with the Kedusha of the Shekhinah through the Tzaddik Emet. This every person can be Zochetu through pure Emunah, complete pure faith in Hashem and the Tzaddik Emet. This we should be Zochet to reach this Madrega, and through reaching this madrega now, we will ultimately, automatically be zocher to see the coming of Mashiach, when all peoples will realize then that Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. Amen. Amen.